Please pray with me. God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the witness of our lives be acceptable to you. Amen. From the time of the Exodus, when the Hebrew people walked away from slavery in Egypt, through their wandering in the desert and their entry into the Promised Land, God's presence with them was tangible. It was the smell of fire in their clothes as God led them with a pillar of fire through the desert by night. It was the damp cold of the pillar of cloud that led them by day. It was the chattering, chirping sound of quails descending on their camp just when they were running out of food and feeling desperate. It was the weight of the heavy stone tablets of the Ten Commandments. Through the years they lived a nomadic life, the Israelites carried along with them some of these tangible signs. The Ark of the Covenant, a wooden chest covered in carved gold, contained a few of these tangible signs: the stone tablets of the Ten Commandments, a pot of manna, that special bread that God rained down on the people, and pieces of the wooden staff that became a serpent as a sign of God's power with Moses and Aaron as they spoke to Pharaoh on God's behalf, saying, "Let my people go." Whenever it was time to set up camp in a new location, the Israelites placed the Ark of the Covenant at the center of their campsite. It was shrouded by skins and fabric in its own kind of tent, and it was called the tabernacle. The Ark of the Covenant inside this tent was the tabernacle. Scripture says that the pillar of cloud would settle over the tabernacle, and the Israelites pitched all of their tents around it, so that God's presence was right in the center of everything. In this morning's reading, we hear the story of Eli and Samuel, who lived at the temple at Shiloh. Now, Shiloh was the place where the Israelites set up the tabernacle when they first entered the Promised Land and began to disperse to settle in there. It was sort of the last place this traveling tent shrine was set up, the tabernacle. The people settled all over, but they came back to Shiloh to offer sacrifices and to worship. And over the years, walls were built around the tent shrine, and Shiloh became one of the more important religious centers in ancient Israel. But by the time of Eli and Samuel, as we heard in this morning's reading, it seems the presence of God was not as keenly felt in that place. It was a time of upheaval. The threat of war and political uncertainty weighed on people. And they came to Shiloh to offer their sacrifices and say their prayers and listen for God. But as the story says, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. But still, Shiloh was an important place. The priests, Eli's sons, they still received the people who came and made sacrifices for them and prayed the prayers. But they also stole from worshipers and kept the choicest pieces of meat from the sacrificial animals for themselves and burnt the leftovers as holy sacrifices to God. They scoffed at anyone who challenged them. They were corrupt and cruel. And Eli, who had been the high priest before them, saw their corruption and did not stop them. So what had once been a sign of the presence of God, always moving with them, going ahead of them, leading them, comforting them, protecting them, in every part of their journey through the wilderness, the Ark of the Covenant now sat unmoving at Shiloh. The priests of Shiloh were unmoved by the needs and prayers of those who came to worship, indifferent to any accusation against them. They were used to having their way, and they assumed their place at Shiloh would be theirs forever, or at least until they passed it on to their children, and their children passed it on to their children, and on and on. And it seems that the people also maybe were resigned, that things were the way they were and always would be. But then God spoke into the night and woke up Samuel. Samuel was a young boy at the time, maybe 11 or 12 years old, and in training to become a Nazirite, a kind of monk. He was not of an important family or a family in the priestly line, as Eli and his sons were. He was not supposed to be anybody important. He was far from the center of what happened at the temple. And yet, as Samuel slept in the temple that had become his home since he had come to live there, God spoke into the night and woke Samuel up. Not Eli or his sons or any other person of obvious power and importance, but Samuel, this young boy. God had faithfully come to the Hebrew people again and again throughout their wandering, and in the same way, God called Samuel again and again throughout that night, until Eli, who was going blind and had turned a blind eye to his son's abuses, but yet still could sense God at work in the world, could remember a time when God's word had been heard more frequently. Eli finally told Samuel that it was God calling him. And Eli told young Samuel to go back and lay down, to wait for God's call to come again, and then to be still and listen. And God spoke into the night again and woke Samuel up. And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And God spoke to him. And it was the beginning of something new for the people of Israel once again. The message God gave to Samuel for Eli was hard for Samuel to hear and hard for him to tell Eli because it was a message of judgment. But Eli, for all his failings, had cared for Samuel since he was very young. Eli was Samuel's guardian and teacher, and Samuel loved Eli. And Eli loved Samuel, so it was hard to tell this message of judgment. God had declared to Samuel that because of Eli's son's transgressions and Eli's failures to stop them, that they would lose everything. It was a hard message for Samuel to hear and then to tell. But somehow his hearing of it and his telling of it faithfully was the beginning of something new. Later in his life, Samuel was called by God to anoint kings and then also to call out those same kings when they put their own needs ahead of those they served, when they forgot that their purpose was to serve God's purpose and promise of abundance and justice and wholeness for the Hebrew people and for all of God's creation. For hundreds and hundreds of years, the Israelites followed and carried with them tangible signs of God's presence. Fire, bread, wood, and stone. The tabernacle, the home of God's dwelling among them, contained pieces of those tangible signs. But the eternal, what would last, the promise was not really the stuff, the fire, the cloud, the stone tablets. What was and is eternal and constant was and is God's fierce, faithful pursuit of God's people. God coming to dwell again and again among us. God's steadfast love. God spoke in the night and woke up Samuel. And God's presence was again made known through this young boy. His hearing, his voice, his hands, his presence became news of God's presence among them. And somehow Samuel's hearing of God's voice opened others to hear God's voice again and witness God's work among them, even in the midst of turmoil. At the beginning of this morning's story, we hear that the word of God was rare, but at the end, the story tells us God continued to speak at Shiloh. Because Samuel heard him, others could now hear. There's so much in this story that is strange to us. The nomadic life of the people, the bloodiness of animal sacrifice as religious practice. But I think there's a lot that is familiar over time, in our time, and in many times since the happenings of the story. We understand the feeling of uncertainty. We know what it's like to live in times of trouble. We know what it's like to be feeling grief and loss and sorrow after hurricanes and violence and now fires. We know what it's like to have leaders who take advantage of their power for their own benefit. We know what it's like to be yearning for God's presence. And yet, even as we yearn for God's presence, we are called to be signs of God's presence. We're called to trust that God's faithfulness is eternal, that God's steadfast love endures forever. And that is what is eternal over all of these centuries and eons and in all times, beyond the signs. God's love is eternal and steadfast. We are witnesses to God's work in the world. How do we listen for God's voice in times of trouble? How do we help one another and help our neighbors in the world hear God's voice? Witness God at work in our world and remember God's promise of abundance and justice and wholeness. May we listen for God's voice and speak God's word and live as faithfully as Samuel. Amen.